They will, it's basically going to be contingent on weather. So that could be as soon as the middle to the end of March.
Have we already received the funding for all these projects? Or is it possible the funding could get caught up in the state budget crisis?
I do not know of the funding being cut. Yes, we have received the funding for each project.
Has Mr. Pinkleton left the room? Mr. Pinkleton, can you speak to that?
They've been approved.
Has the funding been committed ongoing to support the capital projects? The decision to support capital projects for the campus is made at a particular point in time. Mm-hmm. I think that at this stage of the game, although we are moving forward with the projects, I don't think any of us is in a position to guarantee that the new administration will provide the same level of support to our existing projects, not to mention any aspiration for new projects. There's an ongoing dialogue with the institution and the state, specifically the Capital Development Board, around the status of our projects, trying to get monies released so that the projects can be completed, those that are in process. And so as we continue to kind of navigate through those conversations, it's important that we are aggressive. And that's what the position that we are taking. We are being aggressive in trying to secure the funding so that all the projects that are in process can in fact be completed. But again, we're in a very, these are uncertain times relative to the state's position around cash flow. And so in the meantime, our position is to just be as aggressive as we can, try to get the projects completed as quickly as possible, get the funds released where that is appropriate, and then move on to the next thing.
Mr. Pinkleton, but the present projects, however, have been approved already.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there should be funding for these projects.
That's correct. But ultimately, the funding has to be released. Okay, and the funding has to be approved. Right. We're in a situation now where the governor has actually made requests, even though a project has been approved, the governor has made requests to see information around contracts that have to be established so that the project can be brought to its closure. Okay, so we could be 50% of the way through a particular project. It's approved, it's funded. Okay, but given the current state of affairs, the governor and the Office of the Management and Budget has actually requested in certain cases where we provide them with information on contracts that have not been officially signed yet, but are still relevant to the completion of that project. Mm-hmm. And so with that type of scrutiny, it suggests to me that there's still some degree of risk on whether we were able to complete the project. So it's not zero. I mean, it's greater than zero because that question is being posed, in my opinion.
Okay. So what's the percentage of our getting the Robinson Center complete?
Well, again, I can't speak definitively to that other than, right.
I mean, I would say overall we're about 50%.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you both. And Mr. Obershin.
Yes.
Are we sticking to budget? You know, in construction and renovations, I always hear about cost overruns. Are you able to, if we speed things up, are you able to bring things in under budget? Do you see that these projects are basically where we thought they would be? Do you see any cost overruns, et cetera?
Okay, I do not see any cost overruns at this time. The opportunity to speed up the projects are possible. I'm not sure that they will necessarily save any money because the tasks are already developed and the scopes, that is, and the amount of money to perform those scopes. So if anything, we can possibly, like with the Douglas project, we may have a case where we have to overlap some of the tasks that are lined up on the schedule to make sure that we meet our deadline.
Okay, thank you. And you're not having any problems with workers, no issues related to people doing as they're supposed to be doing on these projects?
You know, in these projects, we always have interaction with the general contractors. There are times when there are certain things that might pose a conflict or a problem. There might be cases where They need our permission to move forward doing something a certain way. So those things are always being reviewed. We have the AE on board with the Douglas project as well as the others. So between ourselves, the AE, and the contractors, we're usually able to work through those issues.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Trustee Smith, I just want to ask, what are the dollar amounts on, for example, the Robinson Center project?
You know, I'll be honest with you, I don't have those handy with me, but we do have on our website an update of all of our active projects, and it gives the start date, completion date, and the budget for each project.
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. That's all I have.
We're ready for the legislative and human resource update. Trustee Lee.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Ms. Muscari.
Hello again, Board of Trustees. I want to just focus my comments really about the budget, because that's really our focus from a legislative perspective. Yes, there are a million bills being filed and going through committee, but we really need to focus on the 31.5% reduction that was proposed on February 18th by the governor. So what's happening is that the public universities have come together to kind of do a marketing strategy around showing the importance of what public universities mean to the state. Who we employ, for example, for CSU, we know that the majority of our students and graduates stay in the state and become tax-paying citizens. And so that is a benefit to the state from a financial perspective. And so we have to find a way to get that message across, and we are. I listened to all the appropriation hearings of the other state universities. And yesterday, Northeastern testified before House Appropriation, which is chaired by Representative Ken Duncan. And he said publicly he is adamantly opposed to the 31.5% and does not believe it'll happen. That's good news. However, 20% is still realistic, and 20% is still very painful for CSU. So it is very positive that the Higher Ed Appropriations Committee are supporting public higher education in the state, and that they realize and truly, I feel, truly understand that the proposal is completely detrimental and unrealistic to the operations of public universities, and particularly CSU. Our hearings are in April. We have a House hearing. Our Senate hearing is April 2nd. Our House hearing is April 16th. And we are the last to go, so we will obviously be very well prepared, because all the other public institutions will have testified and will understand what they've asked and what they have been asked. But the focus in Northeastern's testimony yesterday was what the cut means for them. And so we have to get to a point where we can articulate what the cuts mean for CSU. And we all know, every single person in this room knows, that 12 million in the actual number will probably feel like 24 million in its actuality for CSU. And so we clearly can't let that happen, and we have to show that that is an additional impact, because to a certain extent, the legislature may see all the public universities are created equal. We're not, clearly, we're not. We know that. We have to tell them that, and we have to show them that. And so that's what we're in the process of doing. So a campus message went out from the president explaining about the proposed cuts from the governor and what that means and what we're doing. And some action steps, we will be asking the board, our campus community, our students, our faculty, and our contiguous community to reach out to the governor's office, to reach out to our elected officials and say, no, we can't have this happen. We support CSU, and we need CSU to be appropriately funded. So I need to be honest with the board and say that, do I think it'll be 31.5? No. Do I think it'll be double digits? Yes. And it, not because of anything towards CSU, just because the money isn't there. I'm not quite sure if the legislature is going to increase the vote to increase the income tax. The governor's opposed to it. And unless there's some other revenue ideas, I know there's been discussions about taxing services. I'm not quite sure how that will go over. But until we come up with new ideas to bring in money, we're kind of in for the state to bring in money, we're kind of in a rock and a hard place. And unlike the community colleges who were held harmless in his proposed budget, we really only have raising our own money or increasing tuition to generate revenue. That's really our only options. Our community colleges have property tax revenue, right? They have other means in addition to tuition to bring in dollars for their particular entity. So we have to make the case. Community colleges do what they do, universities do what we do, but we have to be equally funded and funded to a point where we can execute our mission. So we are laser focused. I mean, I track all the legislation, I do that, but I have to say we are laser focused on this budget to ensure that they know that this is completely unrealistic and that if anything, we need to be, our funding needs to be increased. But at the very least, our cuts should be proportional and maybe not across the board for all the public universities. So that really, I know that's brief, but that really concludes my point. That's my report. That's really our main focus this session is the budget.
And if I may, Mr. Chairman, question. I would also like for us to express what these cuts would mean to the rest of the state, to us. The cuts to us vis-a-vis the rest of the state, because this university, it's my understanding, has put more people of color, black and brown, into professional positions than any of the entire state systems together, put together, mm-hmm. combined.
Yeah, that's true.
So mm-hmm. our significance is without doubt. And I think that we really need to carry that position forward also, if you don't mind.
No, we absolutely, absolutely.
Just to add on, Mr. Chairman, anything that we can do to be of help, and I think that our uniqueness, the population that we serve, position as Trustee Zala has just stated, that we hold in terms of communities that have been historically disadvantaged. So we're not just any old university in the university system,
right.
But we serve a population that I mean, there's really a moral obligation that the state sees us differently, and so across-the-board cuts would not affect every university the same way, and I think there's a unique case we can make. And I think that all of us on the board would be readily available to help you make that case.
I appreciate that. No, I do plan on calling on you. Thank you.
Any further questions?
Okay. Thank you, Trustees.
Thank you.
Chairman. Just Trustee Leak, we haven't heard from our Washington representatives in a couple of board meetings. Maybe you can make sure they're here at our next meeting to tell us what's going on in Washington.
Right. Will do.
Anything else from Legislative and Human Services? Okay. Then we're ready for our student trustee report.
Yes, sir. I'd like to report that the Student Government Association, we've been working on the Illinois Action for Children. Our Senate Clerk Paris Williams brought this to my attention, where student mothers at Chicago State University were threatened to not be provided the stipend from Governor Bruce Rauner, who made a cut of $300 million through the Illinois Department of Human Services to assist mothers with child care. So we've connected with the Illinois Action for Children's Council, and we're networking with them and working with them, lobbying with them for that money to be replaced. And in doing so, we contacted Monique Davis, our state representative, and there's House Bill 1393 in the 99th General Assembly for dollars for child care assistance, which has been referred to the Rules Committee and is in the Rules Committee as we speak. So we're waiting on it to be voted out of the Rules Committee. And also, concerning the CSU Foundation Scholarship, students would like to know more information about the scholarship availability through the CSU Foundation and the CSU Foundation Board of Directors that provide scholarships, book vouchers, etc. It seems as if the process that it currently has in place is not conducive to the student body, and based upon the foundation and the new foundation that we're looking forward to, the new foundation board, that they will look at this and forward it in the 2015-2016 fiscal year in a more progressive manner. Also, we're looking at House Resolution 0135, sponsored by LaShawn Ford. Senator Darren Martin and I have connected with him, and he's adopted a program that provides housing scholarships to college students that are registered as homeless, and to include funding for this program in their appropriations request to the General Assembly, which is now in the House Higher Education Committee. Also, to Tracy Obershon, over in the Cordell Reed Student Union Building, we've had some leakages in the Student Union Building, and I fell once in Douglas Hall. I don't want to fall again. I know I look young, but I'm old, and my bones are brittle. So please, if you will, please, and I know we've got budget cuts and all, but the leaks in the Cordell Reed Student Union Building, please be aware and be cautious and be careful and have your BSWs over there working hard, you know, making all things considered and conducive toward the students.
Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Yes.
We actually are aware of it. We have done a roof survey, and we are awaiting some funds to get those repairs done. Yep, and that'll probably be in the spring of the summer.
Okay, yep. And that concludes my report.
Thank you very much. At this time, I request a motion for the board to convene into executive session.
So moved.
A second.
Trustee Hatch?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Williams?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zoller?
Yes.